knowledge of the future can be a very dangerous thing.
Mm.
Imagine what would happen if any or all of us possessed the ability to know what is going to happen in the days ahead. Think of what an advantage that would give us in the stock market, in the buying of insurance, and in other practical matters of life. By and large, God does not unfold the future to us.
Hmm.
Certainly not in detail, and certainly not any individual's future.
Oh, okay.
But what he does show us in the prophetic scriptures is the general trends of events.
Thanks, Harley, for that wonderful intro. Yeah, Harley has been beaten by the circumstances in which he lives and was not able to do an intro. He wanted me to spin some yarn about how he is just a shitty person, but I said, no, we'll not do it. No, Harley's a Jehovah's Witness, and he still lives with his family, and it's tough on him. Sorry, Harley, if you don't want me to mention that. I mean, you shouldn't have come on Atheistically Speaking and spilled all the beans then. No, I really appreciate everything Harley does, and hopefully we can get an intro next week. Oh, before I go any further, I wanted to say from a friend of both shows, Travis Peterson, if you're in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area and you wish you had more friends that were fans of science or critical thinking, then check out Minnesota Skeptics. Or if you just want to get together with a group of fun people and talk crap about psychics and astrologers, either way. And as we'll find out, astrologers play a little bit of a role in today's reading. So again, check out Minnesota Skeptics. Really cool. You can go to their Facebook or Google them and you'll come across their meetup page. Lots of cool events, good community. So Minnesota Skeptics. I could tell you if I were anywhere near, I would definitely hang out because Travis is a really cool guy and we could talk about how my San Jose Sharks are terrible this season and the Minnesota Wild, I think, are going to make the playoffs, I'm pretty sure. So there you go. There's something you can talk about over at Minnesota Skeptic. So be sure to check that out. Yeah, so I was just playing a clip. We're on to the Book of Daniel. We're done with whatever the hell came before it. I don't even want to think about it. I think it was Ezekiel, but it was terrible. But I've got good news for you guys. This book, Daniel, is going to tell us of the future. Of the future. Yeah, I was listening to some commentary, and I laughed at that part right there. Guys, knowledge of the future can be dangerous. Imagine if we all knew what was going to happen in the stock market. Well, I'll tell you what would happen. For anyone who knows anything about economics, nothing. Here's what would happen. Nothing. You can't know what's going to happen in the stock market. I guess you could, theoretically, you could say one person might. But not really, because one person could affect the stock market, theoretically. I mean, if they had enough money. So as a principle, it doesn't really work because you can't just pretend that always one person is going to know about the stock market doesn't have enough money to affect it. But anyway, this guy said, like, Book of Daniel is a great guide for the future, but it's really funny. He says, like, but God can't tell us exactly what's going on. Imagine what an advantage it would be. Well, you can't. Here's the economics part. If somehow everyone knew the stock market was going to go drastically up on May 1st, so everyone knows this at some point. Let's say they know it right now. Well, what's going to happen is everyone will buy, and the stock market is kind of a general thing. Well, let's just assume everyone will buy securities that mirror the Dow or something. I don't know. I mean, is every company in the stock market going to go up, or is it, you know, there's a lot involved. But anyway, let's just simplify it. Let's say everyone knows Apple's stock is going to go through the roof on May 1st. Well, what happens? Well, no one, who's going to sell Apple stock right now? Who, knowing that it's going to go up May 1st, if we all somehow were convinced by divine knowledge, not just like, oh, I have a strong feeling, like we actually were told by God it's going to go up, it wouldn't go up. It would go up now. It would go up immediately because that's the nature of humans. That's the nature of markets. That's what's so weird. It's reactive. There's no such thing as the stock market's going to go up on this day. It just isn't, because people react to that knowledge. That's why investing is so hard. There's some trends you can do, but there's no certain knowledge, because what people don't understand and what this person doesn't understand is that there's two sides to every transaction. You can't just buy Apple stock. Someone has to sell you it. No one's going to sell you it if it's going up. If it's 100% divinely told that it's going up, who's going to sell it? Doesn't make any sense. So I just found that kind of funny. But yeah, that's interesting. I mean, that does get into a deeper question of philosophy. You can't know the future because you can always react to the future and change it. You just can't. It's impossible. I mean, I don't know if there's some, I haven't done any technical reading on this, but if you tell me something that's going to happen in the future, I'm pretty sure I can change it. There's no, we're, you know, the future is contingent. It doesn't, as Dennett would say, change the future from what to what, he would say. Change the future from what to what. That's a deep quote. You should ponder it. Okay, well, let's get to some non-nonsense. No, let's get to some nonsense. I was going to say, let's get enough of this nonsense. Let's get onto the Bible, but I instantly realized how dumb that was. So we're on the book of Daniel. And we're, because of my technique of dividing episodes based on page numbers, I think we're going to end up with a bit of a shorter reading, but maybe not. Sometimes it takes me a while to get through stuff. So the book of Daniel seems to be, the research I've done says that it pairs well, if you want to know what to pair this book with pairs well with fish, and slash the book of Revelation. Apparently it like is a precursor and or a complement to the book of Revelation, because it tells the future of what's going to happen when God decides to end the earth. But I think the first couple of chapters that we're going to read here are going to be just really basic. So it's not going to be that interesting, because we're only reading 1 and 2 because of, you know, page breaks and stuff that affected that. But it all evens out in the end, guys. It's always 2-point-something-something pages of my Bible, because I divided my Bible out to the certain number of episodes, 260 episodes, and that's what it came out. So I stick to it. It's consistent. Or sorry, it's not. It may vary slightly, but in the end, we'll always end up where we are, if that makes any sense. So we've got 16 episodes until the New Testament. The Nude Testament, which would be a great improvement on the Clothed Testament, just because it would be more interesting, and I would probably buy a Bible that had pictures if it was the Nude Testament. Although I'm sure it was kind of horrific back then. There wasn't a lot of hygiene, you know, slash shaving that went on. But anyway, so this is going to be interesting. It's going to be like some establishing text and stuff. And then I think later in Daniel, we're going to get to some, you know, predictions of the future, guys. So Daniel 1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, who's named Nebuchadnezzar now. As you guys may remember, it switches between Nebuchadnezzar and Nebuchadrezzar for no apparent reason. It's kind of weird. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. So, it's pretty easy to make some jokes about child molesters in the church. It seems like it's something that goes back a long time, because if someone comes at me and says, hey, can you, okay, we need to pick some children who are have no blemishes, are just really good looking. I mean, what? Yeah, they just have no blemish. They're just, their skin is so nice. We're going to pluck them out of society in order to come study with us full time. They're just going to be around us all the time. I'd be like, what are you talking about? Why the no blemish part? Why the, you know, why can't we just pick kids based on the, you know, some other criteria that doesn't involve, the, you know? So it's a little weird that they're pulling aside these children to teach privately for all their lives. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, which is like Michael but with an S. That's kind of weird. And Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. I'm not sure what the point of that was. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then Daniel said to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat, and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. As for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among all of them found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore they stood before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in his realm. Wow, 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers, huh? And Daniel continued even unto the first year of the king of King Cyrus. So what happened there, in case you didn't follow it, and I don't know how you wouldn't have perfectly followed what I just read, some Jews were carried off to Babylon, and then the king or somebody there, was it the king? Yeah, it was the king, who's like, hey, I want your top choice children, just your tasty children. But apparently maybe it was all honorable. Maybe he just wanted children for some reason. I don't know why. But so he selected, I think like 6 of them or something. And 4 of them, I guess, were really cool. Like Daniel and his 3 friends were really particularly awesome. And the reason we know this is because Daniel, they were all allotted like food and wine. Okay, you're going to have meat and wine. And Daniel, for some reason, refused. He said, I don't want the king's meat and wine. Here, let's do a little experiment. Ooh, this is science. Science, guys, you ready? Listen to the science. He's like, take some of us, including me, and don't feed us the king's meat and wine. Just feed us this thing called, where was it? Pulse. Which I guess is just like some sort of like, almost like oatmeal or something, just some basic food. And then he said, the other people, go ahead and feed them that. And then after 10 days, we'll see our results. It's like a science fair project. And then you'll do a little presentation and like a, one of those like cardboard things where it's like, oh, here's Daniel and the children. They're looking good because they ate pulse for some reason. I don't know what the holy part of this, like the God part, has God declared that you guys know of that like meat and wine aren't good? Because I don't know, it kind of seems like those are fine. based on what I know of the Bible. But anyway, maybe because it's the, you know, Babylonians, meat and wine, it's like not good or something. I don't know. Who knows? Whatever. After our 10-day science fair experiment, we won first prize because Daniel and the three other friends are like looking good. They're awesome. They're looking fit. And the other people are apparently not, which is weird. But whatever. And then it turns out, so the king is so impressed with these four, that he's like, oh, these people are the best. They're the best. And then and it goes from that to saying that in all matters of wisdom and understanding, the king inquired of them. He found them 10 times better. So not only are they fatter because of this food that for some reason treated them better, somehow they're smarter, like they know 10 times more than the king's magicians and astrologers. I understand the astrologers part, but magicians, they're pretty cool. Even in the Bible, they're pretty cool. They did like a bunch of miracles that, you know, like Moses. Remember way back with Moses and the magicians like imitated several of the miracles? They're pretty cool. I like magicians. They're fun. They're entertaining. They're a hoot. How could some shitty kid be 10 times better than all your magicians? I think you're just a bad king if that's true. All right, so we'll go to Daniel 2 and see what the heck's going on there. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep broke from him. He's having nightmares. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans. Oh, guys, I have a guess. Let me guess. I promise you I have not read ahead. Let me guess. They won't be able to do anything, but Daniel will. Daniel will be able to tell him something about his dream. So let's see. To shoo the king his dreams. I guess this is a thing you did. Because now if I have a bad dream and then I call someone like, hey, can you shoo me my dream? I'd be like, what does that do? Go back to bed. You're talking nonsense. But I guess back then, if you had a bad dream, you call someone, you're like, tell me what it means. Shoo me my dream. So they came and stood before the king, and the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream.
All this talk of dreams, I'm ready to go to bed.
Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac. O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will shew the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream, with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye shew me the dream, and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore shew me the dream, and the interpretation thereof. Well, that would be kind of crappy. So the king's saying, he's calling their bluff. So they're like, okay, we got this. Tell me your dream, I'll tell you what it means. The king's like, nah, can't remember. You tell me what my dream was and what it means, or you die. And your houses die. Like, meaning everybody in it, too, probably. So that's not a good deal. Right away, I'd be like, let me go think about it. let me wander for 100 miles. Because back then, that's pretty far. And think about it. And then I'll write you a letter about your dream. I promise. And then I'd never be seen again. I'd just leave. But anyway, so what did they say? They answered again and said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will shew you the interpretation of it. So they're like, not necessary. Just tell us the dream. The king answered and said, I know of certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Does that mean daylight savings time or? Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, there is not a man upon the earth that can shew the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things and any magician or astrologer as Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth, and there is none other that can shew it before the king except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh. For this cause, well, that's kind of interesting. So they're admitting, like, look, dude, we're full of, come on. You're asking magicians and astrologers. You're asking us for actual proof that we do anything useful. This guy. He says, like, hey, you astrologer and magician, like, hey, do some astrology and magic. What does he think we're astrologers and magicians or something? I don't understand this guy. Oh, he's a laugh. No one can do that. So they're pretty much admitting, like, we're full of crap. Like, dude, what are you? No one's ever asked us this before. For this cause, the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. Sorry, I'm so yawny. I had a rough day. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Wait, what? Why Daniel? How did Daniel get included in that? You're not making any sense. I guess he's just in the group of wise men, even though it didn't say that he was asked. He apparently is going to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He then answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would shew the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So he's going to kill all the wise men. And I like Daniel's question, because like Daniel sees that, you know, the guy's going to go kill all the wise men. Daniel's like, hey, why are you in such a rush? Like, he doesn't say... I mean, maybe it's just a translation thing or whatever, but he's like, hey, why is the king so hasty with his killing? It was weird. He didn't say like, whoa, what, you know, what's going on? He said like, hey, why the rush, man? Where's the fire? Anyway, then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his, and he changeth the times and the season. He removeth kings and setteth up kings, and giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge unto them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and in the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will shew unto the king the interpretation. Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in great haste, and said thus to him, I have found a man of the captains of Judah, of the captives of Judah, that will make known, because remember, all the Jews are captives that are there. They're just like been stolen away. That will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. So that's like his, that's his name there. That's his, why am I blanking? You know, starts with a B. Ready, guys? Starts with a B. Babylon. That's his like Babylonian name. Belteshazzar. Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? At this point, I would have said, if I was going to die anyway, like everyone's going to die, I would have gone up and said, I've got the interpretation. I have it. So remember that part in your dream where like you were, you know, totally having sex with a dude? It means you're gay. And I'd be like, that's it. That's all the dream. There wasn't much to the dream, really. It was just you were banging a dude. And because of that, I'm pretty sure you're gay. And that's what God has told me. So no big mystery. I think you could have done that one yourself. And then, I mean, we would have died anyway, so whatever. But there is a God in heaven. Or you know what I would have told him? I would have been like, look, aside, I would have taken him aside. Okay, be like, we can do this the easy way or the hard way. Now, God has told me about your dream. I know it. I know everything. And he also told me that it kind of means you're into dudes. You know, that's the interpretation. Now, I can tell everyone that. know, we can do this. We can do this charade of, you know, I can like say, well, here's what it was. You know, here's what your dream was. Here's the interpretation. God says you're gay. I can do that if you want. I mean, I'll go up right now. I'll get in front of everybody. You want me to do it? Should I do? Okay, I'll go do it. Am I doing this? No. Okay, I can do that. Or we can just agree. I'll just say, oh, here, I'll make something up. I'll say, it means you're going to be a great king. You're going to live forever. And then we call it even. Or not live forever. I mean, that will eventually be proven false. Let's say you're a great king. You're going to have a nice long life. Good kingdom. Okay, good. On three. Ready to break. 1, 2, 3. Break. Go team. That's what I would have done. I would have tried some ploy like that. Like, I mean, I'm not judging. I'm just interpreting the dream as God told me. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, shew unto the king? But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these." You're super gay. "As for thee, O king, thy thoughts came into thy mind upon thy bed. What should come to pass hereafter? And he that revealeth secrets maketh known to thee what shall come to pass." And by the way, I'm only calling him gay because I know he would hate it. There's nothing wrong with being gay. Should go without saying. But like back then it was probably so bad of an insult that you couldn't even imagine calling someone gay. It'd be like, what are you talking about? That isn't. But anyway. "Reveal his secrets, maketh known to thee what shall come to pass. But as for me, this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image, this great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form was terrible. This image's head." Oh, guys, you ready? This is going to be like a multi-headed, like a five-headed, like, you know, eagle with like the nose of a donkey and the ears of a cat and the, you know, got the teeth of a, you know, of a newt and the eyes of an owl. It's going to be one of those. Let's see. "This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, this is a weird dream, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broke into pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath given into thine hands, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold, and after thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth, and the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, forasmuch as iron breaketh in pieces, and subdueth all things, and as iron that breaketh all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes part of potter's clay, and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of the iron, for as much as thou sawest in the iron mixed with miry clay. And as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men, but they shall not cleave to one another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. It shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it brake in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof, sure. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and said, that is not even close to what that is. Did you hear that, guys? That was just nonsensical. Did anyone even understand that? What? That is the worst guess I have ever heard of guessing. Like, why didn't you say, oh, you know, your buddy from high school, he was there for no reason. You haven't seen him for a while. You guys both banged this chick, and then it turned into your mom, and you're all freaked out, and you're like, what does it mean? But it really doesn't mean much because it's just a dream. Dreams are weird, you know, and then it melted to school, and then you were at an assembly with no pants on, and then you had sex with your mom again. Like, just that would be a good guess, just a weird dream like that. There's at least something there. Like, there's at least a dream to be had there. This is just the image of a statue. And then you're saying, like, you know, because it's part clay and part iron, it has all these implications for what's going to happen later in the future. Get a load of this guy's guess. It was a terrible guess. And then were I the king, I would have just slaughtered everybody. Just been like, nice guess, but not really. That was actually the worst guess ever. You're going to be the first to die, and then I'm going to kill the rest of the people that you were trying to save, because that was the worst guess for a dream of all time. Everybody, are we all in agreement here? Worst guess of all time for a dream? Yep, okay. No, that's not what happened. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him a ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. All right, like I said, a little short. Actually didn't end up being that short. So pretty cool, pretty funny stuff. Comedy, haha. Tell your friends. We have a laugh here at Thomas and the Bible. We have a good time. We crack a few jokes, you know. We do a few wisecracks, in the end, it's all about the Bible and sanctifying ourselves unto the Lord, I think. I don't know. So I'm going to thank my patrons now, because you guys are the best. If you are a patron, check that your thing went through, because it looks like a few payments didn't go through. No big deal. Sometimes it refuses cards. I don't know why. Seems to happen randomly and happens to everybody. But anyway, see if we had any new patrons since last time. Ooh, looks like we did. Yeah, let's say Thomas Haynes. Did I thank Rob Wildman? Not sure if I did, but thank you, Rob Wildman. Thank you so much for coming on board. And thank you, Thomas Haynes, for coming on board. I really appreciate it. Your contributions make this podcast exist. The minute that no one pledges and no one cares, it will cease to exist, because it's not worth it. The Bible is not worth it. I've got a news flash for you guys. The Bible kind of sucks. So the patrons are what keep it going. I love you guys. Thank you so much. Now I'm going to thank my top patrons, Katie Cannell, I guess, even though I think it's Katie Quiznos, Marcel, Sarah McPike, Camel Pope, Charles Bangwiener, John Bodley, Tom Chambers, Brian Gerford, Lee Primesberger, John P., David Vandervlies, Travis Peterson, and Heriberto. Honorable mention to Heriberto. Thank you so much. I love you guys. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You're the best. If you want to count yourself among the glorious patrons, the supportive T and the B makers, producers, go to patreon.com/TandTheB, all one word. And pledge, you won't even notice it. Dollar an episode, guys. What was that? $4.33 a month. You know, it's like, that's one Starbucks drink. That's less than one Starbucks drink in a month. to support a podcast that maybe you get something out of. So it's, you know, it's nothing. And maybe you're a heavy coffee drinker, so you're going to pledge $2 because maybe you buy a couple Starbucks drinks in a month. I don't know. Maybe you're a really heavy coffee drinker. Maybe you pledge $5 because you buy a lot of Starbucks. I don't know. I don't know how much Starbucks you buy. So whatever, you know, do tailor it to your level. No, in seriousness, thank you guys. Thank you, patrons. This one was a tad short, but as I said, it will all even out in the end. We have sometimes a little shorter episodes, a little longer episodes, although this one's getting on 35 minutes, so that's pretty normal now that I think about it. All right, have a good one, guys, and I will see you for some more Daniel next Wednesday.